The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
For the next 2 hours, be prepared to open your mind to the edgier side of the metaphysical world. The topics discussed may prove disturbing to some, but are all a part of the world in which we live. Welcome to the Rev and Witch Show. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome everybody here to the Para-X Radio Network. And what else? We are listening to, and you are actually listening to, because I would listen to it if I wasn't already on it, the Rev and Witch and the Rev and Witch Show here on Para-X Radio Network. Hey, first thing we got to go and say, we're not a two-hour show. In the future, we'll be changing the intro a little bit up because this was something that Marla and I had, we were both drunk one night and we decided that would go, and we were drinking on each coast actually, and we decided we would get together and for old time's sake start up the Reverend Witch Show on occasion. And by the way, just in case you're wondering who the hell this guy is, I'm the Reverend Tim Shaw, and I am with who else? My little sister Marla Brooks. Hey Marla, how you doing? The witch.
Yeah, well, you make witch. Yeah. Well, tonight's topic is going to kind of prove otherwise. You know, you can run, but you can't always hide.
Well, I don't know about that because, you know, I am a card-carrying spiritualist after all, and I wouldn't know anything about that that crazy world that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, baby, crazy world.
Yeah, it's got to be harder to live in a world where your nose grows like Pinocchio about every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Really nice because my nose grows so much that I can actually hit the keyboards from where the microphone is situated.
It's too bad that didn't happen during that seance when you woke up with your drooling all over the keyboard. That nose would have kept it from happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this is just something that is an occupational hazard, I think. That's what it is. Yeah, and it's my, you know what? That's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. You witch, you. How are you, kid?
I'm good, and you can stick all you want, like even those sticky flies or glue. We all know better, because as the promo, the entrance,
you know what? Not no. often that you're ever tongue-tied, so I think that me being on the air with you once again may have perclumped you somehow.
It may have perclumped me in a way. Yeah, it probably did. I'm just, you know, it's like falling off a horse. You know, you just got to get back on. But it's been a long time in between. So I might get a saddle sore or two tonight. But we'll see.
I can't. I'm not even going there. Go ahead,
no,
Marla.
You're not.
Ahead.
No, you're not. See, we're just back together like we always were. nothing changes. It's kind of amazing. But no, you can't hide, because we talked in the opener about the fact that the Rev and Witch shows are a little edgier than the shows that we would normally do. And that's not to scare people, but it's just because there are two sides to every coin, and people need to hear sometimes about something that they're not used to, something that may be a little uncomfortable to them. You just don't know. And so the little background on this show about Santa Muerte is that, I don't know, it was 6 months ago, a year ago, Tim started talking about Santa Muerte. Now, Santa Muerte is Spanish for holy death or sacred death. And she's a female folk saint, venerated primarily in Mexico and the Southwest U.S., she's a personification of death. She's associated with healing and protection and safe delivery to the afterlife by her devotees. But she's really scary to look at. I mean, I was surprised to find out that she was a she. I thought it was a guy because it looked like the Grim Reaper with the, you know, with the scythe and, you know, the that hood, everything. It was really kind of like, mm. But Tim developed some sort of a kinship, fascination. I don't know what it was, but he really got interested in Santa Muerte. And because of some of his other interests, like, you know, candles that he buys, not at the happy little Wiccan shop, but at the Botanica, which is just a more hardcore than that.
Listen, sometimes you just have to flip off the fuzzy bunny slippers and get the bottoms of your feet dirty. That's the bottom line. You know what it's are.
Well, I do. But I still haven't shopped at a Botanica.
Botanicas are...
They're very cool.
Yeah. You'll love them. You'll really love them.
Some people might not know what a Botanica is. You want to go ahead and fill them in?
A Botanica is a... up here in the west side of Buffalo, we have a Botanica del Indio. And that is a place where the believers in Santeria come in and buy candles and work, you know, and talk about oils and veneration of saints and buy their Florida water and that sort of thing. And it's really a fascinating, fascinating place. My good friend, Witch Doctor Utu, from the Dragon Ritual Drummers, was the man that actually introduced me to the shop. And even though I'm a spiritualist, I don't think twice about using candle magic. I don't think twice about anointing with oils and using different incantations and that sort of thing to work with the elements and the saints and those on the other side. And I have to tell you that it is really an amazing. What I'm just going to say is, it's an amazing use of intent. That's the best way I'm gonna get myself out of it without really stepping too deep into it. But I will say that I do use so many of these things now, rather than just what I would call the mainstream witch and craft shop items that you get. This is hardcore. You go in there, and it really is. Luis is in there, and he's a high priest, and it's a real deal. And the minute you walk in there, it's like, wow. So, yeah, it's really a pretty interesting place, and their wares are next to none if you're working with hardcore magic.
Now, my question, I don't know where it came from, your learning about or having an affinity with Santa Muerte. Was that because you were shopping in that shop and came across her, or where did you and she kind of meet?
Well, you know, I mean, Mar, you know, and those of you who have been following my live Facebook posts, God, I love every one of you who do. You guys know that I love skulls. I love any kind of skulls. I think that they're beautiful in the Tibetan traditions. They mean good luck. They mean life, and I really love them. And in many of the Mesoamerican traditions, the skeleton and the skulls symbolize mortality. That we're all going to meet our maker someday. And so my office / vortex from hell / land of broken toys, and of course the guest bedroom is decorated with multiple skulls, paintings of skulls, and of course a gift from a good friend of mine, Utu. He gave me a statuette of Santa Muerte. And it's handmade by one of the members of the Dragon Ritual Drummers, Adrian, and it is actually beautiful. And I have her, actually she's watching me do this broadcast right now. She's directly behind me, and I know that for a folk saint, I feel that the energies are really, really strong with her. And it's funny because I just had a passing interest, and... you know, all of a sudden, one day in the mail, I got this Santa Muerte statue for my little sister Marla. The next day, I got a Santa Muerte statue in a wedding dress, a white wedding dress from Utu. So I think it's just kind of meant to be. It's the way my buddy Chip Coffey would say, it's synchronicity.
Yeah, a match made in, well, I can't say heaven, and I'm not going to say hell, but somewhere in between, a match made in limbo. Maybe that'll work.
I agree, yes.
Well, you know, a little bit more about Santa Muerte is that the worship of her is condemned by the Catholic Church in Mexico as invalid. But, I mean, yeah.
You know why? Do you know why?
She's not been, I don't know Catholicism well enough, but she hasn't been made into a real saint, or she doesn't qualify.
Exactly. She's a folk saint, which means that she is not consecrated and didn't go through the process, becoming a saint. Mm-hmm. However, they believe that the practice of worshiping folk saints and Santa Muerte is actually partially devil worship. And they believe that the practices that many people use today to honor Santa Muerte is a combination of Christianity and devil worship, which I'm going to come right and tell you. I've done some research. There's a fantastic book out there. I want to plug this book. It's called Santa Muerte, Devoted to Death by R. Andrew Chestnut. Utu turned me on to the book. It's a scholarly book. It traces a lot of different lines and explains a lot. But I can tell you that Santa Muerte is right up there with any other saint or personage or personality or ancestor that is worshipped today and by hundreds of people. And
well, more than that.
Yeah, I mean, there's millions now.
Well, it's said that her popularity has grown over the past 10 to 20 years from a few that would worship in their homes because, you know, it wasn't, you know, they would get in trouble if they did otherwise. But from it went from a few hundred, maybe a few thousand, to several million in Mexico, here in the States, as well as Central America.
Exactly. And if you guys heard some crazy noise, one of my computers just shut down, just to let you know. But yeah, it really is. Now, the first time we can trace the worship of a like entity all the way back to the Aztecs. And I really find that quite fascinating. But what I found fascinating more than that was the fact that Santa Muerte is like many of the religions out there today, like Hoodoo and Voodoo and Santeria and many of these religions who cater to the downtrodden, the criminals, the prostitutes, people who are enslaved or in trouble. And the belief in her and the praying to her in many cases does cause miracles, changes people's lives around, and also the darker side can actually harm people out there. So she's almost like a two-faced a goddess, and I won't say two-faced in the worst way. It's the fact that she has the light, and she also has the dark. I believe the worship of Santa Muerte could almost be considered perfect balance. In order to for people to live, it's almost looking at yourself. Do you have to? You have to know the light, and you know what how I feel about fuzzy bunnies out there. And I mean, I have nothing against everybody that just works within the light, but I feel that you're so much more effective if you can strike that balance between the light and the darkness. And as a paranormal investigator and someone who has worked negative cases, someone who has dealt with you know, all sorts of just, you know, really people that you know, that can be so negative and so destructive, both self-destructive and destructive of other people. I firmly believe that in order to be very, very effective, you have got to be able to go and see your dark side. And and Marley, you know that I would never use my dark side for anything. But
oh my God. Santa Muerte. Oh, my God.
Santa Muerte. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
But, no, I mean, really, it's I believe that it is an important belief system. And when we start looking into it, the number one thing that we do find is balance.
Yeah, and we do. And in kind of a duality, I was reading where they said that Santa Muerte is a spirit of death, but she is also death herself.
Yes.
So there's like two sides to her. And her, see, if I had known her official name, I would have understood that she was a she. But right. Santa Muerte, you know, is anything. But there were two things. The main name, her proper name, is Nuestra Señora de la Santa Muerte. So that would be Our Lady of the Holy
Correct.
Death.
Correct.
But when I looked her up in Judica Illis's Encyclopedia of Mystics, Sages, and Saints, Judica had her called as La Santísima Muerte. Now, that, again, is feminine. So I would have gotten it then, but it just took a while when I thought, oh, God, she's not feminine at all.
But dear Marla, when we start thinking about that, she is not the only female deity
no.
of that vein. You go down to Paraguay, and they have a male counterpart, San La Muerte. Mm-hmm. Or in Guatemala, you have Rey Pascualo, which is, I mean, these are male versions of it. And you know, so we have to, you know, you got to kind of try to figure out, you know, how these folk saints were able to come from. Actually may have been able to go and originate from an earlier time period, and then mm-hmm. as they kind of started to move north, how everything started to break up. But I believe, I'm a firm believer that Santa Muerte is most effective in the female form.
She could be. You know, you were talking about the duality. I mean, there is good for her and there is bad for her. But one thing that I read about, and I talked to you about this earlier, that there is a warning not to petition her lightly or casually because you're literally conjuring death. And she's dangerous to evoke. But here's the interesting part. Here comes the bright sunshine. Interestingly enough, it said it's traditional to invoke her simultaneously with powerful but benevolent spirits like Saint Anthony of Padua, Helena, or Michael, Archangel Michael. So, and they would keep her in line. So, they're kind of like a safety net.
Exactly, because again, when we start talking about duality of entities and duality of deities, we have to always understand that there is light and dark, and people. I think the problem we see in today's society, especially in Caucasian societies, and you know, for lack of a better term, we're seeing you know, mostly what we've been taught through the Judeo-Christian traditions. Now, when we start talking about the Spanish mixture, the influence of Mesoamerica upon Christianity, we start seeing something a little bit different. We start seeing we start seeing a different type of teaching. Let's go back and let's go to Europe. I mean, during mm-hmm. plagues and epidemics, skeletal folk saints, even in Europe, were used. They were brought over here. Now, if you look at a lot of the architecture out there, you start seeing skeletons, you start seeing skulls that are carved into the architecture. And so the traditions were brought here of that, and the mixture is natural. And if we start looking at Santeria, we see a heavy mixture of Christianity. Now, in voodoo, we start looking at it in a way that, well, a lot of it was hidden. The gods were hidden behind the masks of the saints. Whereas in other religions, especially those coming up through Mexico, we start seeing an equal amount of both, where there's a hefty belief in both. And then we start looking at, let's face it, one of my favorite holidays, the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very, very great interest in the veneration of the ancestors. And what is symbolized, what symbolizes the Day of the Dead? The painted skull. Mm-hmm. So to many, it is a it's just a natural evolution as it starts coming up, starts coming and becoming more familiar and more accepted.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sherry just wrote a question in chat. She said, if one is about to be robbed in Mexico, do you invoke Santa Muerte for protection?
I know I would.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. We were talking about her not-so-scary side, but if you look at all the aspects of her, she protects those in life-threatening situations or occupations, including people who work with scary, dangerous, and lethal people or have to come into proximity with them. So there is that benevolent side to her, right?
Yes, but let's also let's look at a darker side of Santa Muerte.
Okay.
Start seeing Santa Muerte as the patron saint, the patron folk saint of criminals in jail. We start looking at her drug lords and all these gangs, when police raid their headquarters, they see shrines to Santa Muerte. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, when Chestnut was actually doing his research in Central America, he noticed that when they were driving in these different areas, there were shrines that were destroyed. And at first he thought, wow, that's kind of wild. Why would they do that? But then he realized that they were, at the time, shrines of Santa Muerte. So that's why Santa Muerte actually got a really bad connotation. Mm-hmm. Santa Muerte it's not unusual to find those on the other side of the law as their patron saint. Santa Muerte, of course, now is again as her prominence starts to grow, become more homogenized and more acceptable for the family worship.
Yeah, and it is very much so. And you know, you were talking about the different people that she protects, but and you probably know this because you have the altar set up in her honor, but she is considered also to be the special matron of witches, of magical practitioners, and necromancers.
Yeah, I agree. Again, let's look at it. That's why do you think the Christian church does not want to recognize her? Mm-hmm. Because of that. But to me, she holds as big a place as with any Catholic saint out there. I mean, I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, she also, and I found this interesting too, again, I think it's a little benevolent. She may be petitioned for assistance with the dead and the ancestral realm. Now, that can't be bad.
Absolutely. Hey, let's face it. The Church of Latter-day Saints will go, and I don't know the process anymore, I used to, be able to go and free one of your ancestors or your ancestors from hell and bring them into the heavenly realm. They do that. So why not have a folk saint, a saint of the people, who is a patron saint of the practitioners? But also, let's face it, when you think about it, really, nobody's really a practitioner. It is a way of life. Mm-hmm. It really is when you think about it. I mean, it's a cultural way of life. And you know what? I'm probably doing Santa Muerte a disservice because I'm a guy that just, you know, I'm researching her and it's fascinating and I do venerate her. And I'm not Hispanic and I was not brought up with Santa Muerte. I'm a newcomer. And I think she welcomes newcomers. But on the other hand, I mean, I'm really amazed by those people who venerate her so much. And I mean, she performs miracles are performed in her name. There's a church in Mexico City now that honors her. And there are shrines being set up here in the United States, especially in the Southwest. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and her sacred animal is the owl, and the owl is probably one of the most benevolent of the omen creatures, the totem creatures. And, you know, because it, I mean, the owl is intelligence and stuff. But it's interesting, in Judica's book, she talks about offerings and things like that, and right. one of the and her fragrance, Santa Muerte's fragrance, is musk, which kind of yeah. fits. Yeah. And offerings to her include bread, water, incense, candles, prayers and venerations, a tattoo of her image, candy, fruit, and especially shiny red apples. That made me laugh. But then white roses, rum, sherry, tequila, whiskey, chocolate, sugar skulls, and rosaries. See, that surprised me.
Yes. But now, what do you know what I do with mine? But I, no. you know how I honor something.
You blow cigar smoke on her, because see, that's
no,
we're going to talk about that though. But go ahead.
No, that's like the false faces. No, I use Florida water and I anoint yeah. her hand. She has a hand. She, of course, she has hands, but she has one hand that holds the world, which symbolizes the mortality of all of us and the earth itself. But mm-hmm. she also holds a scythe. Right. And the hand that holds the scythe is the one that I anoint every time I come into my office with Florida water, and I have mm-hmm. Florida water there. So that's sort of my, even though I would know about such things, Marla, I do anoint her hand, and I really feel that the offering is very, very important. It's mm-hmm. to me, it's as important as lighting, going to a Catholic church and lighting a candle for special intentions or mm-hmm. to honor Christ, Mary, Joseph, or any of the saints.
Mm-hmm. See, you went from altar boy to Santa Muerte.
Yeah, I was never an altar boy kid. When they asked me to be an altar boy, I said no. I didn't want to get up in the morning.
Well, that's probably the good that they didn't do it. But no, I mean, just so people know, you were brought up Catholic. I mean, this isn't, you know, something that you don't know about on both sides, right?
But I was brought up Catholic and spiritualist, so I mean,
well, yeah,
one canceled out the other, I think, more than anything else. And as I evolved, I mean, you know, Marla, let's face it, when the two of us first went on the air together, you yes. used to go and say, oh my God, this guy is like, you know, this duct tape on his rear end spiritualist type of guy. And then later on, you know, I gave you a couple of hints and you realized that you know, mm-hmm. I have a little bit more of a broad interest in everything esoteric and hidden. And to me, to be a well-rounded metaphysician or magician, because that's actually what I am, because I am not, I'm not dedicated to any god or goddess. So I'm considered more a magician than a full-fledged witch. You have to be able to go and you have to be able to accept so much out there and be so interested in everything. And on the flip mm-hmm. side, if you're working with negative cases, you've got to be able to be so broad ranged that you can recognize what the client needs in order to get them to be empowered again. So whether it's Christianity, whether it's Santeria or voodoo or witchcraft or whatever, I mean, that's what we have to do. We have to be able to mm-hmm. not be afraid of these religions. And when you think about it, every religion is created by man, period. Mm-hmm. It's right. created by man. Good, bad, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Duality is created, is a covenant between you and your God. And to mm-hmm. me, I think I can venerate Santa Muerte just as much as I can venerate Saint Joseph, who I buried upside down outside of my mother's house, so that it would quickly sell the house in Catholic tradition. You know, you bury Saint Joseph upside down, and he works harder to sell the house so he can get right side up and out again. That's what. So, I mean, I think that being broad range is important, and I believe that I'm going to go on. I'll always venerate Santa Muerte now, but I'll venerate Catholic saints, and I'll venerate the goddess, you know, of the earth and the horn god. I mean, I believe in all of this, and you have mm-hmm. to. You have to be able to believe it. You have to understand it, and you really just can't go and be a flatlander. You have to be able to try to, you know, hike those peaks in order to understand what's going on.
Well, that's it. You have to know a little bit about everything, and, you know, the more the better. That's being well-rounded, and you have to, going back to the duality, you there is no light unless there's dark and vice versa. And, you know, okay, I'll admit it. Years ago, when Dave Jones kind of coerced me into doing a show, I was a little bit afraid to come out of the broom closet. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, yeah, I've got to, you know, there's a need to do this, but, you know, so how do I sugarcoat it? Just a little bit, because, you know, it scares you, scares people. And so I came on kind of insinuating that I was Wiccan, because people know that Wiccans are white witches. They're completely, you know, they're what you would call a fluffy bunny. They don't do anything wrong. But, you know, the more you think about it, even the whitest of white witches, and I don't do anything evil on purpose, you know, I mean...
Oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pinocchio, go ahead.
Stop. But you just kind of have to, if somebody that you care about is in danger or something, you're going to do something about it. I don't care how fluffy you are, you know.
I agree.
And so it took a long time, but I finally, you know, I hate labels, but I finally... now kind of confess to being a gray witch, which means that you do good anytime you can. But that doesn't mean if something really bad happens that you can't, like, defend somebody or, you know, try to help somebody. You don't cross the line always, but I don't see how anybody can be perfectly good 100% of the time.
Well, you know what? I'm going to come right out and tell you that when I bring up the topic of Santa Muerte to a non-Hispanic group, they get nervous. They get as nervous as when I bring out my 17 Ouija boards and lay them on a table for a display. And they do it because of the fact that they were taught to be afraid. And here's the thing. Why are we so damn afraid of everything? You know, I mean, yeah, okay, I'm afraid of going down like... you know, going into some of the rougher areas in the middle of the night with $100 bills hanging out of my pocket. Yeah, I'm a little afraid of doing that. But when it comes to spirituality, we have to be able to go and understand that, you know, sometimes everything just might be a flat line. Everything might not be exactly what everybody thinks it is. And we're taught, you know, I mean, I was taught heaven and hell, and I was taught angels and demons and all that. Mm-hmm. And in my experience... I'll be honest with you. I mean, I believe in negative energies. I believe in positive energies, but I don't believe in demons. I don't. I don't believe in angels. I don't. I believe that there are entities, there are spirit personalities that happen to, you know, help you out, or there are tricksters out there that are going to try to gain your confidence. And if you don't use your common sense, well, you can get suckered in, just like buying a really bad car. And mm-hmm. You have to be careful. And Santa Muerte, again... before I really, she resonated with me right from the beginning, but before I really, I mean, for a while, I was just going to put her in my cabinet of curiosities and let her, you know, and, you know, let her just be another addition. And the more I started to study about her, the more I started to find out her Aztec roots, the more I started to find out about how hidden she was, how, and let's face it, anything that is yesterday's pornography is today's fashion sense sometimes, you know, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, the more hidden she was, the more darker she was. And the more I started researching her, I actually found the entity itself of Santa Muerte, the personality, to be something that is akin to, let's say, like, the false face masks where of the Native American tribes up here in the Iroquois Confederacy, medicine society, where if even today, if you don't honor that that mask, and the mask is a carving from a living tree that you know, there's a whole tradition about it, but if you don't blow sacred kinnikinick in the nostrils and you don't rub corn mush in the mouth, they become cantankerous and they mm-hmm. can become nasty. And, you know, I mean, I've worked a case where such a thing happened. And I believe that Santa Muerte is very much the same thing. And I believe if you treat these effigies, if you because the effigies, of course, represent a spirit or spirit personality. Mm-hmm. If you treat them with respect and honor them, then they'll work to help you. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I think too many people are afraid. I really do. I think everybody's afraid that they're going to go to hell. I think everybody's afraid that they're going to bring a demon in. The only last demon I brought in was, some kind of hot sauce that burned the inside of me, the inside and out. So,
yeah, that was very demonic.
That was demonic. But in all honesty, I believe that Santa Muerte, being a folk saint, was one that the common she was the real true saint of the common people. And of course, when you're in some of these societies, you go and you become the hero or the heroine of their own story. And I believe that Santa Muerte became that popular because Santa Muerte was a focus point of intent.
And go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I mean, let's face it, Spellwork 101. What is Spellwork 101? Laser point with intent. That's what it is. I believe that the belief in praying for intercessions from saints, I believe that praying to Santa Muerte or any other god or goddess is the same thing. We go and we create our own realities, and we also can affect those realities by intent.
Yeah, and you're talking about she's kind of like the saint to the people, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, here was a quote that I read. She's fearless and conquering, and nothing is beyond her capacity to remedy, control, or eliminate.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is that many adore her because they can feel comfortable asking her for anything,
correct,
including requests that other saints will automatically reject. And that is pretty much down to the brass tack level. I mean, you can't pray, if you're a God-fearing person, you can't pray to any of these saints to do a dastardly deed, for example. And I'm not saying that people pray to her only for that. That's not the case.
But it can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do pray for those things. And I'm going to be honest with you, you get a child molester, a murderer. Mm-hmm. Christianity, of course, teaches us to forgive, that let the other side go and judge them after death. Well, here's the bottom line. I don't believe in that. I mean, I believe that there are people out there that they shouldn't walk the earth. I'm sorry to say that. Mm-hmm. People like Adolf Hitler and Adolf Eichmann and all these other serial killers that are out there,
right.
I don't believe that these are people that are worthy of saving. And I'm sorry if I really piss people off, but that's the way I feel. There are some people, it's just like animals. Sometimes animals, there's something wrong with them and they can't be fixed. And I'm sorry that all the humanists out there are just like aghast. But I mean, the bottom line is sometimes you need that intercession to go and right or wrong. And I'm truly a person that believes that many times you have to go beyond. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and physically attack somebody who has done me wrong. But you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to invoke Santa Muerte. I'm going to go and work magic or whatever you want to call it, in order to go out there and alleviate this problem. Most of the time, it's like, listen, whatever, I don't want anything to happen to you physically, but on a different plane of your life, for everything that you say wrong about me, for every untruth that you may project towards me, it will turn around and it will destroy you tenfold. And I do believe that that's something that is tangible, and I can tell you that through my own experiences, it's true and it works. And Marla knows.
Oh yes.
Marla knows firsthand, but I don't find anything wrong with it. And I believe that Christianity and doesn't really go and give you that outlet in order to do that. I mean, when you start looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament is one of kick-ass and take names later. The New Testament, of course, is, you know, where it's forgiveness and it's a whole different, you know, we must love our neighbors and this whole thing. And, you know, I mean, it's good, but it doesn't, I know, again, now I'm going to piss off all my Christian friends. You know what? It doesn't work in all situations. And turn the other cheek does not work in all situations. And I believe that invoking the, I believe invoking Santa Muerte and saints of that nature, or working spell work, in order to, and you know, Marla, you know me, I believe the best defense is a great offense.
Right.
I don't have any problem with it. And I think there's a lot of people out there that really secretly agree with me. They don't think twice about pulling out the plugs and, you know, letting it rip and, you know, God help where everything ends up on the other side. But Santa Muerte is, I mean, you know, they, the criminals will go and invoke Santa Muerte for protection against the police. The police and the military will invoke Santa Muerte to bless their weapons so that they don't miss in firefights. I mean, this is how broad-ranged, you know, the belief and what this folk saint can grant her believers. And you know, I mean, everything from wealth to health and the unity with friends to you know, something dark as vengeance upon an enemy.
Right. And you know, I mean, there are scare tactics against having her work for you. I mean, there was a rumor that if Santa Muerte grants your request, she'll take the life of a loved one in return. But that doesn't seem to be the case. That was said more as a scare tactic intended to encourage or discourage veneration.
Exactly.
You know, but then, you know, what did they tell the people when they were trying to convert the pagans? You know, same thing, you know, okay, they dance with the devil, they do all this stuff, stay away from them, they're bad, bad, bad.
But well, let's face it, let's just, you know, this propaganda that's sent out, when you start looking at it, what is a pagan? What does pagan mean?
Mm-hmm.
Pagan means someone who lives in the country.
Right.
That's what it means.
That's all it means, right.
You know, and fashions.
Mm-hmm.
Pagans, you know, wore these tall pointed hats. Well, guess what was in fashion in the cities and is no longer in fashion, but it takes a while for these fashion trends to go into the country. Well, the people in the country are still using those fashion trends. They're still wearing the pointed hats. That's a whole cult of disinformation. The church comes in and says, hey, you know, listen, the hierarchy and the educated people and the rich people all become, they're the first ones that we want to become. We want them to become believers. Now, what are you going to do for the people out in the rural areas? Well, now you start this whole propaganda of disinformation. You send it out, and people start to go and believe it, and they get persecuted. It's the same thing with a lot of the Santa Muerte people, the same thing with the voodoo people. I mean, you know as well as I do, you know some of the people that, you know, the crazy people that I run with.
Right.
They're the kindest, nicest people in the world. The same thing.
Yeah, they are.
I would say that, and we were just talking about the pagans versus some of the other fields out there. And, you know, it's almost that they've got a better handle on living life rather than some of these other people who profess to be uber whatevers. And that's what we have to start looking at. And, you know, all these belief systems. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, the beliefs of the ancestors are not our beliefs anymore. They were lost. We're a homogenized version of many of them. And, you know, I mean, we have, and I believe that our spirituality and our belief system has to constantly evolve into whatever fits our needs at this time. And people don't go and don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting my soapbox, Mar. Say something, because I'm off the soapbox, because next thing you know, I'm going to be passing the hat in the chat room. Give, people, give till it hurts, because that's when you know that you've given enough, when it hurts. Usually hurts in the wallet, but don't worry about that, because it's going to the Reverend Witch Show. Never mind, sorry.
Yeah, no, if I get you too riled up, Nan's going to get mad, but And we just can't do that. I got over that a long time ago because she yelled at me too many times for getting you riled up. But, you know, I mean, there's just so many different aspects to what we do and how we do it. And everybody's got an opinion. And the thing is, and I was telling Tim this the other day, I went to Pagan Day Fest. Jimmy Darling was on my show a few weeks ago, and I went there. It was such a relief to be with people that were friendly to everybody. Everybody had a smile, and they were all different paths. I mean, there were white magicians, there were black magicians, there were Satanists, there were, you know, you name it. They were all there, but they met, and everybody was friendly to each other. There wasn't any sparring. There wasn't anything. You just walked by somebody. It's like you read back in the 50s, you know, you'd walk down the street and people down the street would nod and say good evening, good morning, and be really friendly and whatever. And this is the thing. That's exactly how they were over there. I mean, I just couldn't believe it, that it was so comforting because there wasn't any worry about one's going to up the other one and things are going to just turn into a big mess. I mean, it was just a very good atmosphere to be in. And that, I think, is so important, to be comfortable in your own skin. And sometimes people don't let us be comfortable in our pagan skin.
No, and that's exactly it. And people don't realize that. And you have to have enough chutzpah to get out there and follow your own path. And you can't let anybody direct you. And I mean, again, I turn around and my belief system is so widespread and all-encompassing that I feel comfortable. I mean, I feel comfortable at a pagan ritual. I feel comfortable at a circle. I mean, conjuration camps. I mean, I'm very comfortable with them. And the whole thing is that I'm comfortable because I'm comfortable in my own belief system. And I'm also more than happy and more than willing to learn somebody else's. And you have to be open like that. And there's a lot, there's too many people with duct tape on their asses that just won't go and loosen up. I mean, and there is no one way. There's no one way to spirituality. There's no one way of doing anything. And that's what people have got to go. And everybody's got to turn around and learn that. And I think that's why we're hearing so many reincarnated evolutions. I think when we finally get that, I mean, and we go on and be a part of everything, you know, we become that big bang, you know, I mean, I think that's the ultimate goal, when we can actually say, you know, everything, I agree with almost everything out there, you know,
and everything
out there
takes an open mind to do that. Most people see black and white. They've got blinders on. You need to answer a quick question from the chat room about Florida water.
Oh, Florida water is a little concoction that is made with it has like different perfumes in it. It's a water.
I got one right here. Hang on, help you out.
They use it in Santeria and hoodoo ritual. And the reason why they used it and they offer it to the gods, because back in the between the 14th and 1600s. Perfume was very, very expensive, and, you know, to import here to, you know, to the New World. Mm-hmm. So that really meant a lot to them, to the practitioner. Yeah. They offered it to the god. So, and that's what I carry on that tradition of Florida water. And I also use Florida water instead of sage and holy water. I use Florida water to anoint and clear my talking boards. I use holy water. Mm-hmm. When I'm working a case, when we want to go and stop anything negative from coming through the doorways, coming through the windows, I'll anoint the sills. I really like it, and I'll tell you what, it really smells wonderful. It really does.
I know. I just opened the bottle right next to me. But it doesn't – it's funny, ingredients. It says alcohol, water, fragrances. No, that's it. It's a big secret. We don't know what the fragrances are, but I'm sure if we look it up, we're there. But no, I use it for that too.
I use it in place of holy water. Now, if I'm working a case where the client is Roman Catholic, I won't use Florida water. Of course, I'll use holy water that I got from Our Lady of Victory with the blessed Monsignor Nelson Baker, who's on the fast track of a saint here locally. So, I mean, I believe that that has a very, very intense and special purpose. But I believe also Florida water is something that is really, I got to tell you, until I used it, I had doubts. Now that I use it, I use it all the time. And that's why I use it to anoint the statue of Santa Muerte, because I believe that it's something special. And yes, I believe in offerings to the saints. It's not that they actually use them. I believe it's just the fact that you'll take something that you think is special and that you'll present to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really believe that the entities, the energies or whatever, appreciate that.
They do. I mean, it's offerings in any way, in a positive way, are always recognized. You may not realize it right then, but you know, what you give, you get back. And now I know why you have so many pictures of yourself on Facebook chomping on a cigar. Because
I knew you were gonna bring this one up.
You betcha, buddy. Because cigars and cigarettes are traditionally lit, and the smoke is blown over the effigy.
Yes, that I won't lie. I will say that I do enjoy good cigars. I don't smoke cheap ones. I do always, you know, I always smoke a very good cigar, high quality cigar. And yeah, I do that too. You caught me. I'm sorry, Marla, but yes, you caught me.
I've caught you many times. This is only one of many, but this one I'm talking about on the air, which is, you know, a little bit different than, you know. but anyway, that made good sense. Now, we've only got 8 minutes, and I think we've pretty much covered Santa Muerte, and we can talk about it another time as well. But I think one thing that we need to do in the end of this show is talk about curiosity.
Well, that's a good segue into something near and dear to my heart. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Well, curiosity is my pet project video. What we're doing is there's so many paranormal videos out there, and I've done paranormal for so long, and you guys know that I've been on network a couple times, and the last time was with Nick Gruff and my favorite America's sweetheart, Katrina Weedman. I really, she's the genuine, she's the real deal. If anybody ever wants to know somebody, that's the real deal. We were on Paranormal Lockdown for the Hinsdale episode. But I love people, and anybody that has listened to the Black Cat Lounge in the past knows how much I love the backstories. I love the whys and hows people get into these things, and why the heck did you buy a haunted house or whatever. So what I did was my friend Eric Tuberdyke, Eric Charles, actually, you'll know him for his radio name. We decided that we were going to go out and just find out what's going on and you know, kind of explore things that we find interesting. And we've gone to Trundle Manor, Pennsylvania. Trundle Manor is like where rockabilly meets the Addams Family. It's steampunk, you know, extraordinaire. It is amazing. We did an episode on that. And then, of course, the Hinsdale House, we interviewed Dan Kless, who owned the house. That's an amazing episode. We interviewed, of course, Onyx, who owns Strange Brew, the craft shop here in Buffalo, or in Kenmore, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday, I got to tell everybody, and some of the people out there who follow me on Facebook know, that Eric and I had gone out and we had done, like last week, we had done an interview with Sharon Coyle, the owner of Rolling Hills Asylum. Now, the cameras that I use, excuse me, I've been using these things for 5 years. I know them in and out. This camera, this damn camera went out of focus, even though it was on manual. Autofocus was turned off. And it ruined part of the interview.
Mm.
So we asked Sharon, and the other night Sharon graciously allowed us to come back, and we redid the interview, and thankfully the interview, everything came out good, and we were able to go and really get to know her and get to know the why, what fascinated her by it. We have booked there's a place here in Buffalo on Allen Street called Flow, and they have sensory isolation tanks. And we're gonna have an episode talking to the owner of that. And as a lot of you know, I logged about 50 hours in a sensory isolation tank back in the 80s. So
that explains it.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it's fascinating. This stuff is fascinating. We're going to go and we're going to a true inspiration. We've got booked in Eric, Erie Eric. He's a TAT guy down in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he was diagnosed with childhood arthritis. He had both his hips replaced by the time he was 21, and they said he'd never draw. Yet he went to Carnegie in Pittsburgh, and he's a great character guy, and he does tats, and he's a rockabilly guy. And I mean, that is so inspirational, and that's what I want. That's what interests me, and that's what we're out doing. And then last week, Wednesday, I was up at the Lewiston, New York Library. We had done an investigation there. And the next day I drove up to Dunkirk, New York, to work with Adam Kimmel and the gang from Resident Undead. We did a really neat investigation there where they use the ripples and time method. And we got some really neat stuff up there. So, I mean, I love doing all this stuff. This is what fascinates me. You know, people, places, and the who, whys, and what the heck is wrong with you wares. And by the way, and actually, and just a quick plug, Mark.
Yeah.
You guys want to go and watch. I've got 5 episodes up from the last season. They're all free. Just go to www.SeanThomasProductions.com and enjoy them. That's what they're there for. And we don't charge anything to produce them. We don't charge anything to make them. It's all on our own nickel. We don't go out and beg for money for equipment or travel costs. We do it all. Eric and I do it all on our own because we're following basically the love of what we want to do. And I think that's we're trying to lead by example. We're trying to lead people to just get out there and do things that they really, truly enjoy. And this is something that we enjoy.
And it's something I enjoy watching. And you know, I mean, I know so many people that you know, I mean, because through you, that I like seeing them on your shows. It's like very cool. You know, just like, you know, we trade friends here and there, you know. I get Scott Michaels and you're jumping up and down, you know, that kind of thing.
That's it. That's the way it works.
So, yeah, they're really well done. They're really nice. So everybody go over to Sean Thomas Productions and just, it's good. It's a good show. It's refreshing. You know, if you and Tim has the first season been behind the camera, but this coming up season he's going to be a little bit more in front of the camera. Exactly. And if you know Tim and Eric together, if you've seen any of their live Facebook things, it's quite amusing to watch two knuckleheads in action.
Exactly. We are like the Three Stooges on speed. That's about the best way you can describe us.
Oh, I can think of better ways, but hey, you know, we're on the air. Even though we're not FCC regulated, I'm going to not say anything. So just, good. You know, people go over and have a look. We're running out of time. So, Tim, thank you. And let's do this again because I like doing Revs and Witches.
We will. We will. And we're going to bring some guests on. And just to let everybody know that I have missed radio. I've been gone a year since my mom passed away. And thank you, everybody, for sending all sorts of great well wishes. And the estate is finally settled, and everything is great now. And hopefully we'll definitely we'll have more Rev and Witch shows. But with any luck, I'll bring the Black Cat Lounge back here to Para X at least once a month.
Well, you probably should because I'm missing out on all those damn tips, you cheapskate.
Well, you know what? If you ever saw, if your head could go over the bar, you short little munchkin, maybe people would leave you a tip.
They'll take pity on me and do it every time. All right, you guys, thank you. We had a great chat room tonight. Full. Thank you very much. We will be in touch very soon. You'll hear us both, and I'll be back next week on Stirring the Cauldron. So until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Good night.